In this message, I want to share about how we can recover after a fall, recovering from backsliding. Of course, you know what it means to backslide. You've tasted of the heavenly gift, you've tasted of the goodness of the Lord, and you know that the Lord is good. But somehow, you cannot keep yourself in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I experienced all these things, and I know many others have experienced all these things too. The ups and downs, the bumpy rides in the faith. You know, today you are up, tomorrow you are down. All these experiences as men, we have experienced them. That is why I'm able to share things like this today. Praise God. Many years I went around in circles. Now when I say many years, I'm talking of over 10 years. From church to church, preacher to preacher, prophet to prophet, always seeking somebody or something that could just turn around my situation so that I can experience that joy of my salvation once more. See, I went out to great men of God with big reputations for probably the person can pray for me and change my situation. Probably if this one lays his hands on me, I will be restored back to the faith. Praise God. I even traveled far away in search of some kind of, revival in my soul. Because for over 10 years, well over 10 years, I experienced what spiritual desert, a spiritual wilderness is. I experienced it and I know exactly what Jonah meant. I understand the travails of Jonah as he groaned in the belly of the whale. Praise God, I know what it means to sense yourself being totally cut off, alienated from the very life of God. I know what it means in its fullness and its torment. You just go round and round in circles, and somehow things will never seem to work out for you. And these things will begin to show forth in your foot. See, these things begin to manifest themselves outwardly in the fruits that you display as you come in contact with men, so that men begin to wonder what something is wrong with that man. There's something wrong with him, he's gone nuts or something. Praise God. So I went through it, and I know what it means to backslide, and I know the horrors and the torments of that sensation of being cut off from the life of God. At times I thought that probably I've committed the unforgivable sin. You come to the place where you think that you've committed the unforgivable sin. Paul writes about an unforgivable sin in the book of Hebrews. Jesus Christ also spoke about unforgivable sin. When you sin against the Holy Ghost, you can never, your sins can't be forgiven. And somehow those verses heaped up upon me. See it? And they took root in me, and I sensed myself as somebody who, without hope, there's no hope it will work out. See it? But in the midst of the hell, somehow, God, once in a while, always dropped a message for me, always dropped a revelation for me, always dropped a vision for me, that He's there for me, but I did not feel that presence for well over 10 years. Praise God, and I know what it means. Praise God. Today I receive emails, and many brethren experience that thing. Some brethren feel that there's nothing, no growth, no spiritual progress, nothing is happening in their lives. Praise God. And I thank God that I've gone through that, so I know what it's all about. Hallelujah. Praise God. First of all, we must understand the mind of God. That God is not a man. God is not one that changes like we men change. At times, we have emotional imbalances, and we are like this one moment, the next moment we're like this. See, but God is constant, and God never changes. God lives in eternity, and when you say eternity, it means that God is not affected by the elements of change that we see in this world. See, our attitudes change at times in relation to circumstances around us. See, our attitude changes, you know, when certain things around us change. But it's not so with God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And when God says he has loved you with an everlasting love, God cannot withdraw his blessing. God does not do that. That is not the way of God. We have all somehow, in our ignorance, created a God, formulated a God that does not exist. We have formulated a God in the image of man. See, meaning that we have looked on men and we have thought that God is like man, one who changes because of our behavior, who changes today and tomorrow. But God is not so. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ made a statement, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, that is the voice of God. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That is the voice of God. Praise God. God has loved you with an everlasting love from the foundation of the world. Even as you sojourn through the dark places of this earth, see, you can by faith realize that presence that is always with you. Oh yes, friends might leave you. Your children might betray you. Your spouse might betray you. People that you have invested so much in might betray you. They might change. But I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is the voice of your Father. He's always present with you. He has loved you with an everlasting love. And he sees you as an integral part of him. It never changed. Jesus Christ made a statement. He says, the Father God has sent the Son into the world, not to judge the world, but by through the Son, the world might be saved. And anyone who does not believe in the Son already abides in the wrath of God. Now, what does Jesus Christ mean by this? Now, if you do not believe the testimony from above today that you are the beloved Son of God, you are still in your sufferings. In your ignorance, you are still suffering the wrath of God. Not that God is angry with you, not that God is cursing you, but simply because you have not gotten a revelation of your oneness with God, you will go through unnecessary pains. That is the wrath of God. That is the tribulation. That is the anguish of soul. That is hell that men have been plunged into. It's a sensation that somehow God has left us. It's a sensation that God is far away from us. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. When Adam transgressed and shifted away from the Garden of Eden, it's actually a shift in his consciousness, in the mind. See it? In his knowledge, his intellect, spiritual intellect was darkened so that he lost that awareness that he was one with God, one and inseparable from God. And as long as Adam kept on backsliding and going away from this knowledge, he continues to suffer many things. Thorns and thistles, fatigue, sweat, no God, no Father in this world. That is hell. That is hell. The nations that forget God are cast into hell. See, those who lose knowledge, the awareness of this bond, the true God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are in the Son. When you lose knowledge of this true God, this eternal life, we are already in hell. And I experienced that thing for years. I know what it means to suffer hell. Hallelujah. But thank God, I cried out to the Lord out of the belly of the whale like Noah. I cried out of the Lord, and he stretched forth his hands. Hallelujah. The Lord answered me from heaven and delivered me from deep waters. Praise God. And the Lord is here to do the same for every man. Praise God. In my tribulation, in my sorrow, when I discovered how helpless I am, when I discovered that my days were drifting away and I was coming to naught, when I discovered and I looked at myself and I knew that somehow it was finished, no hope, pillar to pillar, post to post in search for this vision, see, new attempts at religion, new attempts to somehow get to God, but never worked out. Praise God. But the Lord answered me out of the secret place of torment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The psalmist, is this Psalm 18? He says that the Lord answered me, and he came riding on cherubs, on a cherubim. Hallelujah. On wings of the wind to rescue me out of that situation. Praise God. And the Lord might ride on the wings of cherubim. Cherubims could be visible or invisible. It could be a messenger of God. See it. You could receive this impartation directly in your mind, in your spirit, and the Lord can also send you a messenger. Praise God, a cherub. Now the cherub does not have to have wings to fly. A cherub does not have to be what those fairy tale imagination of angels that we have seen, you know, in the past. A cherub could be a man like you who has the message. See it? A cherub could be a messenger of God, a servant of God. And normally they are not known in the outer profession. Praise God. See, if Jesus Christ was here today, I can assure you that the same way he was despised and treated years ago is the same way he will be despised and treated today. Because he was not different from any man. He was just an ordinary man. Praise God. Praise God. So we have to be attentive and careful because angels walk in our midst. Hallelujah. You can walk as an angel when you are awake from the dead. Isn't it said that the sons of the resurrection, those who are awake in Christ, are like angels, they are like cherubims that never die? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. You can come into that realm where you can also be a cherub, an angel, a minister of life. After the endless order of Melchizedek. Praise God. So the Lord answered me, you know, from heaven. And he delivered to me that key that was missing in my life. Hallelujah. And every man must receive this key to live a life. Praise God. I'm eternally grateful to ministers that I met along the line. God will bring it to people, right people with the right word in due season. Praise God. And I will mention names to honor them. Some of them like Harlow White. Praise God. Some of them like Anthony Den Hartog. Praise God. Some of them like Gary Sigler. Praise God. Gary Sigler had a simple word of faith in the blood of Jesus that eluded me for years. Praise God. Hallelujah. A simple word in the faith in the blood of Jesus. It doesn't sound high, big, isn't it? But I tell you, that word I received from that messenger of God was enough to bring about an upward trend, an awakening. See, the courage to once more come before the face of the Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got good word of faith, matured word from ministers like God, Anthony Den Hartog. Praise God, who is particularly good in messages on the inner man. See it, faith in the inner man. Those are rugged ministers, faith in the inner man. Because at times, we tend to want to live by our feelings, we tend to want to live by sight, and not by faith. See, but it does not work that way. Hallelujah. Now, we've had those experiences where I felt I could run, like, you know, the Bionic Man? Is it the Million Dollar Man? If you know that was a series years ago, the Bionic Man, or you know, the Bionic Woman. I had those experiences. You see, when those people produce those films, the $1 million man, the Bionic Woman, where do you think they get these inspirations from? It's from the Spirit. I've experienced those things supernaturally, where I felt myself so spiritually lifted that I could even, you know, dash from here to another city in a second. That same feeling that Elijah had, I've had it several times. See, we've experienced certain spiritual elevations and heights of laughter, of joy, of full recognition of the presence of God. And it's real. But somehow these things don't remain with us forever. And we begin to get troubled when we don't always feel these things around us. Praise God. We begin to get troubled that maybe something is wrong. But it's not so. Even Jesus Christ, at times, in fact, most of the times, had to live as a normal human being, living by faith in the invisible presence, in the revelation of that which is true. See, he didn't always walk on the sea. At times, he used boats. Praise God. He didn't always take money out of the mouth of the fish. At times, Jesus collected offerings. Praise God. So let us understand that we cannot just always live in the supernatural realm, because it would just be awkward if you live in that realm. It's not possible. While you are in this world, we must still partake of the life of the flesh. I mean, the lowly life of the human. So that is the whole idea. Jesus Christ also came to share in our humanity. He came to share in the lowliness of human life. Without cheating, he tasted it, he experienced it, the lowliness, the weakness of the flesh. Praise God. So let us not be discouraged at times when we don't feel so spiritual. Let us be anchored. Our souls be anchored on the truth, on the revelation of the life that is beyond the veil of human reasoning. Praise God. The key to it all is the revelation of who you are. I am the Son of the Living God. God has loved the world. The world is you in your ignorance. The world is you when you are ignorant of the fact that I and the Father are one. That is the world. It's a consciousness. So God has loved the world and he has given us now the revelation of the Son so that we can live by that revelation. It's ours forever. It's ours to keep. See, you must get this revelation from the Father and live by it, otherwise the wrath of God abides in you. You must believe that I am the Son of God. You must believe that all things in heaven and earth are mine. You must believe that the Father is always, one with you. You must believe that you originate from God and you have your being in God. You must believe this. Jesus Christ says, if you do not believe this, you will perish in your sins and your ignorance. You will perish. Now, perish is a state of continuous drowning. See, it's a state of continuous sleep, a bottomless pit, so to say, of endless woes that men suffer. See, praise God. It's like a drowning in the sea. Drowning in the sea, and you are going off and off and off simply because you are not anchored on the revelation truth of who you are. Praise God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Your feeling about yourself, your feeling about inadequacies, unworthiness, and whatever you think about yourself cannot separate you from the love and oneness of God. You must get that revelation and walk in it. Praise God. You must get the revelation of the Christ in you, the Son of God in you, that you are. It never leaves you. That is what you are. See, this is the key that will raise you up out of your sufferings. But what about sin consciousness? I've done something some years ago. God cannot forgive me. Look, the blood of Jesus is more powerful than every sin that any man can ever commit. See, if you take a gun and go out somewhere and go out on a shooting spree, the blood of Jesus has already covered you from all that. We're not trying to encourage lawlessness or recklessness, but what we must understand that God's reasoning, God's thoughts are higher than the thoughts of men. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's thoughts are higher than the thoughts of men. See, were you a child molester? See, did you treat your wife badly and she's dead now? And you regret that you hadn't treated your wife well? And you don't have to look back anymore because you are forgiven. The Lord has cancelled your past out. It is blotted out. See, there's no point remembering the past once you can get a revelation of the mind of God towards us. This is the vicarious provision that God has given to the world, because God knows the state of man. Psalm 90 says that he knows the weakness. He knows that we are flesh. He knows how lowly, how weak the flesh is, and the devices that men get entangled with. That is why he has given us this blood of Jesus, which is active. The blood of Jesus is active. It is present, active. See, it's not something that is done just yet. It's active, working presently. Hallelujah. Paul says that the high priest intercedes before the Father on our behalf. It's not as if Jesus Christ is there kneeling down before the Father in heaven and praying for us. Rather, we're trying to understand the mind of God. See, that the blood of Jesus, see, it is active and present and working in us so that we are justified by faith. We are justified. See, the psalmist says, blessed is the man in whom the Lord imputes righteousness. Meaning, blessed is the man in whom God does not see any sin. See, all you need is a revelation to know that you are that man. See, God does not see you as a sinner. He does not see you as a transgressor. He sees you as a son. That is the need. That is why we must get out of the life that encompasses us and ascend higher. And as we ascend higher like Jesus, we begin to hear that voice again. This is this my son in whom I am well pleased. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that is the joy of your salvation. See, knowing this is the joy of your salvation. It's your power. It's your supply for throughout all eternity, realizing that I and the Father are one. The Father has not left me. The Father is always with me. Praise God. You must exercise yourself in faith, in knowing these things. You don't have to, the Father does not have to come down from heaven to hold you on your hand. You must get the revelation by faith. See it. Understand that your sins have been blotted out freely. Praise God. God is not interested in what you think you did yesterday or what you did tomorrow. Whatever. God is not just interested. He wants you to awaken out of the dust, out of the lies that encompass you as a man, to know that you are Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, that was a scene that Jesus Christ, we talk about the lepers. Jesus Christ healed the leper who walked up to Him and worshipped Him. And Jesus Christ healed this leper. And after healing this leper, Jesus Christ told the leper to go to the high priest to offer the sacrifice of the gift that was required of the law of Moses. When you read it, does it mean that Jesus Christ was encouraging us to walk by the laws of Moses? No. All these are symbolic. Symbolic gestures to give us a hint about the salvation that awaits any man who can hear the Lord in this hour. The laws of Moses, the rituals and everything that was performed under the laws of Moses were simply shadows, pointers to the revelation of Christ that we are having today. Pointers to the grace of the salvation that, you know, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. So at times, when Jesus Christ does some certain things, He didn't do these things for us to follow, literally. But they were acts like parables, so that we can be able to see, dig into the understanding of what the Lord was saying. See, a leper in those, a leper is a kind of almost incurable disease, a terrible disease. So you see, the laws of Moses and all the rituals we see in them, various rituals, like what we just read, we're going to see, look into it now. It was a ritual. And all these things were simply pointers to the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing that we see in the Old Testament has got, to be interpreted or to be looked at literally in the physical sense. They are all spiritual. You see, but unknowingly, many people still bring from this Old Testament, and they brought these things into the church. They brought these things and they formed all kind of concepts out of these things, thinking that those things can give life, but they cannot give life. That which gives life is the revelation that is in it. So when Jesus Christ speaks or says we should do this, we should do that, it does not literally mean that in this sense. See, there's a spiritual revelation behind it. It is like a parable. It's like a proverb. Only as we exercise our ears to hear spiritually can we truly benefit from this teaching. A leper is somebody who is normally sick, a very terrible disease, a disease that was almost incurable in those days. Praise God. And you see, the laws of Moses had given a provision that men should, you know, men who had leprosy should take with them, you know, that I'm talking of the, those who were healed. Any man who was by chance healed or miraculously healed from that dreadful disease, before he could be admitted back into the congregation of the Israelites, because those who had leprosy could not actually enter into the congregation of God. See, meaning that they were actually cut off, you know, from that assembly of God. Hallelujah. So you see, spiritually speaking, what happened is that they had to, you know, perform a ritual, that is, take two birds, a piece of wood, a scarlet thread, an earthen vessel, praise God, that's after the healing, and take these, you know, items to, you know, to the high priest of that day. Praise God. And what happens is that when they take these items to the high priest, once the high priest certified that they were healed, the high priest will take one of the birds, kill the bird under running water, so that the blood and the water, you know, goes into an earthen vessel. Then the priest will take the other bird which was alive, along with a piece of wood and a thread, and dip it into that pot. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. And sprinkle the man that had the leprosy, you know, with that blood and water from the pot, from the earthen vessel. Praise God. When you see those kind of rituals, you begin to wonder, did God require blood? Did God require such strange rituals? They were simply shadows of things to come. Praise God, because God has no interest in such things. Those are simply shadows of the grace, of the vicarious, you know, provision we have in the blood of Jesus. Sin consciousness, as long as we still have sin consciousness, as long as we still sense ourselves, you know, unworthy of a part in God, we remain far from the grace and we suffer unnecessarily. It's a wonderful thing to know today that that blood represents the blood of Jesus. After the priest had done all these things, dipped the bed that was alive with the wood and the thread into the blood and water, and sprinkled on the leper, the priest will set that bed free. So we have one bed that died, and we have another bed that is set free. Praise God. Doesn't this remind you of the workings of Jesus, who gave his life for us, who shed his blood for us? Doesn't this remind you of that sacrifice, eternal, you know, provision from God? Praise God. All we need to do to break forth into that glorious liberty of the sons of God, all we need to do to fly once more like that free bird, to break free from the prison house of sin consciousness in the mind, is to receive, to recognize this blood of Jesus, this provision. Praise God. Jesus Christ did this. He instructed that leper who was healed to do this, to remind us of the provision of the blood of Jesus. See, our healing comes in recognizing that these things, God has already dealt with our sins even before we are born. And God wants us to know that we are accepted among the beloved, not because of our performance, not because of, you know, how holy, not because we don't drink beer, not because we don't drink wine, not because we don't chase women, not because we don't get angry, but because of that provision of grace unto all men. We just have to receive it. praise God, then that sense of leprosy, you know, the leper couldn't enter into the congregation of God. This is the sin consciousness that we've had that has driven us away from God all these years. I ran around in circles searching for favor, searching for a prayer, searching for God, not knowing that I was already accepted among the beloved. Praise God, we must get the revelation of this provision of grace. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, you know, let go of that life on the cross. Jesus Christ represents that bird that was killed on our behalf. He died for all mankind, and today I am freely justified by faith. Praise God. By faith in the blood, I can walk as a son of God. By faith in the blood, I know that I am righteous and perfect. See, in reality, the blood of Jesus only cleans the, you see, the stained conscience. See it? The filthy conscience. Because it is the conscience of man that has been contaminated. We have always been holy. We have always been perfect. See it? The way it is the way we are. Praise God. Allow the Lord lead you by the Spirit, cause you to have a revelation of who you are in silence. Praise God. You begin to stay in silence and listen to the Lord. He will thunder from heaven. And as He thunders from heaven, all those high mountains of unbelief will begin to skip. Hallelujah. They will begin to be leveled in your life. Hallelujah. And you begin to recognize your oneness with God. Don't let sin deceive you. Don't let sin, the deceitfulness of sin, drown you. Don't let it knock you out cold. I know what it means to be cold. I know what it means to feel abandoned. I know what it means to watch out, you know, for years, waiting for something to happen, not realizing that the thing that I'm looking for is already present. Let us arise in the faith, brethren. Arise and shine. Hallelujah. So, my advice for any man who has suffered serious backsliding, to the extent that you begin to sense that you have committed the unforgivable sin, you begin to sense that you are no good. You failed so many times, and somehow you think that it's worthless. Isn't it? See it? So I know of people who think that somehow they need something outwardly to be complete in God. But you must realize that you are already complete in God. The way you are perfect, you know, and beautiful and, you know, magnificent in the sight of God. You need a revelation to pierce through the outer, you know, covering of your human existence to know the creature that you are. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you could see the man that is hidden in this vessel and walk in relation to that inner man from now and henceforth, you begin to see a new door opening. And you know, a time came in my life I couldn't even preach anymore. I couldn't preach for 1 minute. I was so weak, so distraught, so damaged. Everything was, you know what they call, you know the famous nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together away. I experienced that. I experienced what it means to fall and the sensation of not being able to be put together again. But thank God, this is possible as you incline your ear, incline this ear to receive what the Spirit is saying in this hour. It's a wonderful thing. Praise God. You only fall into that unforgivable sin when you cannot receive grace that is from God. And your forgivable sin is not because God doesn't want you. It's all in your mind. It's all the deceit of the devil. Praise God. We must receive what God says, not what our mind says or what the devil says. Praise God. The mind is actually the one with the devil. That's the reasoning that opposes, you know, the voice of God. Praise God. So we must strengthen ourselves in this revelation. Be strong in the knowledge of the Lord. Praise God. The revelation of the Lord that is in the midst of this temple is what will raise you out of that pitiable situation. And you can begin to experience once more the joy of your salvation. Praise God, you can begin to shine once more as the bright and morning star that you are by the revelation of the Christ in you. Receive this word of grace in this hour and awake from the dead. Shake off those sleepy eyes and enter back into your glory. God bless you.
Let us sing to the Lord. He has covered himself in glory. Glory to God on high. Let us sing to the Lord. He has covered himself in glory. Glory to God on high. I will sing to the Lord, to the Lord for his victory. Horse and chariot cast in the sea. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord my God, the God of my Father I adore. Cast down the horse and chariot in the